But let us all seek the Lord in prayer once again. Our gracious God, we thank Thee that in Thy wisdom Thou hast given to us this written word. It is there for us to see, to study, to meditate upon, to know Thy will and mind. And one thing that is so clear in it is Thy gospel. There are many things that we do not understand in Thy word, or it is hard to understand. But Lord, we thank Thee for the clarity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, from Genesis to Revelation. And we pray that the message of the gospel would come with power to our hearts, that we would see that our Savior was prophesied and He was lifted up upon the cross, that He shed His blood because of His love for us and because of His desire to satisfy His Father's will. So, Lord, help. Give eternal life to sinners today and encouragement to Thy people. And we ask these things through Christ our Savior. Amen. Well, if you have your thumb or finger in Numbers chapter 21 and also in John chapter 3, we want to look at those words before us in the Scriptures. In the words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of in John 3 and verses 14 and 15, there is a direct reference made to Numbers 21. There in John 3:14 we read, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is focusing upon what took place in Numbers 21. It is focusing on the placement of the brass or the brazen serpent that was placed on a pole. And in what he says, the Lord Jesus Christ shows that Moses' brass serpent was a type of himself. It's a type of Jesus Christ. And also, by the particular words that the Lord Jesus Christ uses, the words are lifted up. And it's used twice in verse 14. He says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He uses those words twice, and that tells us, is he's interpreting and showing us how to interpret the meaning of what is actually a most strange and interesting type. And this term, lifted up, is referred to five times altogether in the Gospel of John, and is always used with a reference to the death of Jesus Christ. To be lifted up is talking about His death. And a question that is often asked, and so many people in this world do not know, why did Jesus Christ die? Why was He lifted up? I asked this of a young man earlier this week. Do you know why Jesus Christ came? And he had no idea. And so we are privileged, friends, to be somewhere where these things are repeatedly mentioned to us and preached to us. By the use of these words, lifted up, the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing a parallel between Himself and this brass serpent. It's talking about the Lord's words. It points to about the nature of His own death. The death by crucifixion. The fact of death of Jesus Christ by crucifixion is very plainly in view. You have it in so many places in the Word of God. For example, in later on in John 12, we have those words in verses 32 and 33. In John 12, 32, "And I," he says, "if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So Jesus Christ, all along, when he mentions the term being lifted up, he's referring to his death, about what way he would die. He would die being lifted up from the earth, signifying what death he should die. So the term lifted up was significant of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ by crucifixion. Christ, as you know, he was nailed to the stake, to that cross, which was then placed in an upright position. He was nailed while he was lying on the ground, and then he was lifted up, his hands are stretched wide. And then he died upon that very cross. And then there was the picture of it given in the Old Testament of that serpent, that snake, we could say, on the pole that foreshadowed and pointed this very fact that Christ would be crucified, that he would have to endure the kind of death of the cross. No one could have thought of this. No one could have engineered it. Those people who were crucifying Jesus Christ, they didn't realize that they were putting into practice and fulfilling the prophecies of old. So it lifts our hearts and encourages those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ that this Bible is true. This Bible is the Word of God, or these things would not take place in this way. You couldn't manufacture it. So Jesus Christ is talking about his death. This points as well to not only his death, but the necessity of his death. Some people say, well, why couldn't Jesus die in some other way? Why couldn't God forgive and make a way for us to be forgiven in a different way? But here Jesus says it must happen like this. It's necessary for this to happen like this. I must die like this. It was necessary for the serpent of brass to be set on a pole and thus be lifted up so that those who were smitten, those Israelites who were smitten and bitten, could see it clearly. Imagine that. If it wasn't lifted up, only a few people who were nearby could see it. But by lifting up, anybody could see it. Anybody who would look would see it and be healed. And all they had to do was to look. That's what God said. And Jesus Christ says in verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, he says, must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that word must, it means it is necessary. So Jesus Christ was teaching that it was necessary for him to be lifted up. My friends, if you are trying to find another way to become right with God and not go through the cross of Jesus Christ, not to trust in his death for us as a payment, a ransom payment for our souls, to pay the price of our sins, then there is no other way. And because Jesus Christ must die in this way, it was necessary for him to die and shed his blood for us. And one of the striking features of the teaching of Scripture about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the atonement made by Christ, is its absolute necessity. And I say absolute necessity. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ to make atonement for sin was absolutely necessary because of the truth of the justice of God. Because of the justice of God. Again, earlier this week, a young lady said to me, why do you say that Jesus Christ is the only way? It's because of this very truth. Because of this very truth. Because of God's justice. And God's justice, you see, in his moral perfection, it requires that all of us would be perfect. Every one of us should be perfect. If we are to appear before God, you have to be perfect. Which one of you is perfect? If I was to ask you to raise your hand, which one of you, if you're thinking sensibly, would raise your hand and say, I've never done anything wrong. All of us have sinned. But in God's perfection. He requires that. And when we transgress it, when we break His commands, His laws, His perfection, what He has revealed to us, what He has shown to us in the Bible, then we see that we are not holy. That there are things that we do which is not right. You think about the various commands that God has given, and they're all good commands. They're all good commands. They're not bad commands, but they're all good commands. And yet we break them. You think about the Lord's Day. You think about the teaching of the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I'm talking generally here to those of you who regularly come to a place of worship like this. Do we keep the Lord's Day? Have we kept it today? Did we begin to think yesterday about the keeping of it? Children, you're unhappy maybe at times when your parents are built. We don't do this on the Lord's Day, or we ought to be doing that. And so, but why do we have to do that? Why can't I just go and do my own thing? Why can't I just go and kick a ball about and play and go and meet up with friends and go and do this and that and the other? And yes, I'll go to church once or twice. Why do you want to get away from it? I heard recently the testimony of Stuart Olliott. Some of you know his name. He's written commentaries and so on very helpfully. And he spoke about the fact that he was brought up in a Christian home, but he wasn't Christian. His friends had so much control over his life, and he just wanted to be like them. He didn't want to do what his godly parents had taught him about the Lord and about the Bible. And so when he became 15, he was on holiday, the summer holidays. He went to see his grandparents. One of them was a nominal Christian. The other one was a true Christian. But the nominal Christian would said, well, I don't want to force you to come to church today. So you do your own thing. If you want to come to church, you come to church. If you don't, don't. So he just said, I'll break away from my parents' traditions and parents' rules, and I won't go to church today. But all in the afternoon, he was restless. There was something, he was not happy. He knew he has to be going to hear the word of God. And so in the evening he went, but he went to a church that he knew the preacher would never preach a message that would convict him. He knew it was a family friend. But he went that night, and the minister led the service. But he said, but today we have a special preacher. And that man came and preached the message of salvation, and he was convicted to the heart. Pray, boys and girls, children. You might feel the same way. You're distracted. You want to do your own things. We all by nature want to do that. Adults would want to do the same thing. There's no difference between us. But pray, Lord, speak to me today. Convict me to my heart today. Make me realize I need the Lord Jesus Christ because I'm breaking all of these commandments. I'm not perfect. But I need the Lord Jesus, who is perfect, to save me and to heal me. And so, friends, the Lord Jesus' death is so important. It's so important. Without His death, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, the Scripture says. Without His blood cleansing us and pardoning us, there is no hope. So the only way that you and I can ever be right with God is through Christ's death. That's why we preach it. That's why we, as the Apostle Paul says, we glorify or glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. And we preach Christ and Him crucified. That's the theme. You might think, we've heard this all before. But that's the theme of the message of the church to this dying world. The message of Calvary. And very quickly, I mentioned one or two things this morning in relation to this. What Jesus Christ says here about being lifted up upon the cross, and a picture of Himself that was typified in that brazen serpent, the brass serpent that Moses lifted up for the healing of the Israelites who were bitten. And one thing I want to say is this, that Christ cursed and died for sinners. Christ was cursed and He died for sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ died under the curse of the moral law of God. He was treated as if he had broken them. He was treated as us. And so we read these words in the writings of the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. So Jesus Christ was hanging upon that tree, upon the cross. He was treated as a cursed person. Cursed by God, as if he had broken the commandments of God. And that's a vital fact about his death. The fact that is seen here. We have broken, all of us, as I was saying to you earlier on, all of God's commands. We are by nature under God's condemnation. Jesus Christ said that. That you're already condemned. He says that in verse 18 of John 3, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Already. For those who do not believe in Jesus Christ savingly are condemned already. And so it is, my friends. And since that brazen serpent, the brass serpent, which was positioned on the pole and it was lifted up, it points to Jesus Christ crucified. Then in a certain way, the serpent of brass reminds us of the curse that Christ endured in his death upon the cross. You see, the serpent of brass reminds us of the introduction of curse. It reminds us that the curse was introduced through a serpent. Think about the emblem of serpent. It seems quite strange that a serpent could in any sense be involved in any type of Christ's death. But not so when we consider the curse that Christ was under in his death. The curse that is on sinful man and that fell on Christ at Calvary was introduced by the old serpent, Satan himself. You remember in the garden, in Eden, he tempted Eve. And through that, Adam fell into sin. And curse came upon the land, upon the whole world, and upon mankind. Satan comes with all his subtlety. And he came and employed the serpent to introduce sin into the human race. And so he introduced the curse. And so, since Jesus Christ endured the curse in his death, it was fitting that the symbol of the serpent was used. And in a real sense, the introduction of sin and the curse is in view in Numbers chapter 21, where we have the picture of murmuring. The people who were known as the people of God, they were murmuring. They were discouraged. My friends, are you discouraged? Be careful in your discouragement, not to murmur and not to fall into sin. There's a danger in that. And Satan can come and tempt us in our discouragements. And this is a word for you, Christians. If you're discouraged, guard your lips, guard your thoughts, guard your heart, guard your hands. Be careful what you say. Be careful how you respond, how you react to things. The people of God there did not. And they were bitten by fiery serpents. And they are called fiery serpents, as we read in Numbers 21. What does that tell us? That denotes the fiery, burning sting that they inflicted. And that's an amazing picture, a vivid picture of the deadly and destructive sting of the old serpent. Sin. Sin's sting is deadly. It burns. It destroys. The venomous bite of the temptations that Satan brings into our lives. The rebellion it causes, the murmuring it causes against God, the fact that we say, why does God do these things? Why does God asking me these things? Why can't I just do these things? And then when we sin, when we fall into these things, our conscience is stinging. There's pain there. And we can't ease it. And such things leads us into sin, and by it we have the divine curse upon the human race. The whole creation is under this kind of a curse. The scripture says to us that the whole world, the whole creation is groaning. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, we read this, cursed is the ground for thy sake. The land itself is cursed. People say, why do these things happen? Why do all these earthquakes and fires and illnesses and all kinds of these things? Well, the land is cursed. The world is cursed. And the implication is that Adam was under the curse, and so also was the creation. However, the only way that curse could be removed was through the death of one who was not himself personally under the curse. And you must note how the Lord Jesus Christ, personally, his sinless condition. You see the brazen serpent, or the brass serpent, was a serpent that didn't have poison. It didn't have poison, which means that the fiery curse was removed. So the Lord Jesus Christ was a man without sin, through whom the curse is taken away. Satan introduces the curse because of the temptation and because of the introduction of sin, but through Jesus Christ, all of that is removed. Another thing to think about is that the serpent, the brass serpent reminds us of the application of the curse. If you think about it, and what the Lord Jesus Christ says, we should remember that it was Moses who made the serpent of brass. And it was Moses who lifted up that serpent on a pole. Moses, who was he? He's the lawgiver, of course. It was through him that the law of God was written and given. We have the first five books of Moses. But the point is that the law disobeyed brings the curse of death and judgment. So Moses, the lawgiver, lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and it was the law that applied and inflicted the curse on Jesus Christ. He was made under the law, the scripture says. He was made under the law. That means he was subject to it, including its curse. And so, since the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners, in his death he was under the curse of the law. I hope you appreciate that. I hope you understand this. If you were to look at Galatians 3 and verse 10, it explains that the law utters a terrible curse against the transgressors. You see, God speaks very plainly, and the law of God, the will of God, speaks very plainly. It goes against everything that we are. And the law of God utters a terrible curse against anybody who breaks it. It says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now there are people who are trying to do their best. Maybe you are here this morning and you are trying to do the best. But the law of God speaks very plainly and says, unless you can keep it perfectly, then you are a lawbreaker. And it brings with it curse upon us. And it is the curse of eternal damnation, suffering under the pains and the torments of everlasting punishment in separation from God forever. But also, it says, the exact requirement is all the things written in the book of the law. It must be obeyed. There is no exemption. It is very strict. the law of God is very strict. Not a single member of the human race can pass that test. You have been sitting through some tests, maybe, exams. Maybe you did well, maybe you did not so well. But there is one test that none of us passes. And that's the test of keeping the law of God perfectly. And so it is that the Lord Jesus Christ must be lifted up because we have not passed the test. Because we have broken it. Jesus Christ must hang upon that tree, upon the cross. And he must be enduring the curse in his death. Because the law demands it. And you think about that serpent of brass. You picture it in your mind, what was lifted up by Moses and people had to look at it. Why was it brass? Have you thought about it? Why couldn't it be wood? It would take shorter time to make it out of wood or something else. Think about it. Why a brass serpent? One of the reasons is because in the brass, there is the fact of the emblem of judgment. There's the emblem of judgment in that. In the Word of God, brass is the emblem of judgment. For example, the great altar in the tabernacle was of brass. On that altar, sacrifices were being made, and the sacrifices were consumed by fire. And that all pointed to Christ being made a curse, and he comes under the judgment of God for the sins of man. And so the brass is a picture of judgment, the fire of God burning the sacrifice. But then again, in the brass, there is the fact of exhaustion of judgment. The exhaustion of judgment. Brass is a hard metal. It's a durable metal. And so the altar of brass was able to endure the fire of countless sacrifices. All the sacrifices that were burnt up on it, the brass could take it. And that reminds us of the death of Jesus Christ. It is able to bear the awful curse that came upon him and exhausted the judgment of God, the wrath of God that was poured upon him. So my friends, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is now no more fear. You don't have to fear. If you know Jesus Christ, then you don't have to fear at all, because Jesus Christ took all the wrath of God. He exhausted the judgment of God which was poured upon him, for which was due to us. And so in him we have shelter. So in him we have the curse removed as we sing it. So that's something to think about. But another thing I want to say is Christ not only is a picture there lifted up is a picture of being cursed for sinners, but he cures sinners by his death. He cures sinners. And if you look at those words in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 8, it tells you this. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. That's a wonderful thing. That was a wonderful promise. It did not require them to give anything or do anything, but to look and live. And that's a miracle. Miracle of healing. That is associated with the serpent of brass was very striking. The bitten Israelite looked toward the serpent. They didn't have to have even a clear view of it, just looking towards it. That serpent that was on the pole, and that person who was bitten, who was dying, would be cured and would live. And in this fact, there was clearly a picture of prophecy of spiritual cure that Jesus Christ is referring to. The healing that is effected by the Savior's death upon the cross. The healing virtue that there is for sinners is seen here. He is smitten. And we have been smitten. Sin ruins us. But looking upon Jesus Christ because of his death, taking hold upon him, we receive cure for our curse. We have these words in Isaiah 53 and verse 5. And with his stripes we are healed. That word for stripes, it is the word for bruising. And the reference is to the infliction of the curse and the suffering that the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered, by which sinners are healed spiritually. That word healed. And with his stripes we are healed. It is part of the name of the Lord. He says in Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord that healeth thee, Jehovah Rapha. So there is the cure given. There's the great gospel, the gospel truth of the reversal of the effects and the consequence of sin through Christ's death. It says in verse 9 of Numbers 21, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He lived. How wonderful. Are you alive this morning? I'm not talking about being able to talk and being able to breathe and being able to eat and do things. We're talking about spiritual life. Are you alive? Spiritually speaking. It says he looked and then he lived. It points to the reversal of the consequences of having been bitten. Miraculously, the influence, the power of the fiery poison was overcome. Health was restored. Are you healthy, spiritually speaking? And instead of certain death, there was life. That's the gospel in the Old Testament. And you see all of that. I hope you see that in the death of Jesus Christ. Through his death and sinners trusting in him, things are reversed. There's the reversal of the awful consequences of sin that was introduced in man's heart. The man's heart is changed. A new heart is given. A new spirit is given. Why? Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. It comes this glorious, saving transformation for sinners. And so the Lord says, I must be lifted up. I must be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There is a world of sinners bitten by sin, dying because of sin, and they are dead in trespasses and sins, but they must look to me and then they are saved. So that's what the Lord is saying. And the last thing is this: Christ saving sinners through his death. We have seen in Numbers 21, when the Israelites who were bitten by the fiery serpents looked upon that brass serpent, the brazen serpent, that Israelite was healed. Everyone that is bitten, the Lord says, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And then it says, and when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Obviously, that look was symbolic of faith. It's a look of faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, must be lifted up, that whosoever, he says, believeth on him should not perish. So the look was the vital contact, we could say, between the victim and the remedy. The look is the instrument, which is faith. It's the instrument, the channel to receive salvation. And so, my friends, you must look to Jesus Christ. When we say that, we're not talking about with these eyes. We're talking with your heart, trusting in him, taking hold upon what he has done for us. Looking is synonymous, it's substitute for faith. Isaiah tells us this, look unto me. God says to us through Isaiah, look unto me and be ye saved. What is that? Look of faith. And so by the concept of looking, there is the issue of the hope. There is hope, my friends. We are living in a hopeless world, but I'm saying, look to Jesus Christ and there is hope. And then there is expectation. There can be an expectancy of receiving the healing virtue. You have all the promises of God for you if you look to Jesus Christ. Look then, friends, look to Him and He will save you. And by the look, we are given to understand that the sinner does not perform any work. By your looking, you're not doing anything. Just the lifting up of the heart. Just trusting in the Lord and what He has done. You're not getting any kind of merit for that. The merit is the work of Jesus Christ and what He has done. That then it is through Him that flows salvation. And so by the look of faith, we are saying we set our confidence on the Lord Jesus. And we receive the healing that our soul needs. The look means that the healing is available to anybody. Anybody here, boys and girls this morning, men and women this morning, do you realize this? Today you can look to Christ and be saved. The thing that maybe you say, I want to be a Christian. I want to know Him. Well, look to Him today and you will live. And so we have those words. Any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And so the point is that no matter where that person was in the vast congregation, the dying congregation, and no matter how serious that state of that individual was, when he looked, he lived. And so take that to your heart. Whatever your state might be, however dying you might be dying, you look to Jesus Christ this morning. And only He is the only object of faith. Don't look to anything else. Don't look to Christians. Don't look to the church. Don't look to anything else but Jesus. So my friends, you're maybe dying in your sin. You sense the effect of it. You don't want to keep the Lord's Day today. You might be living in some sort of a lie. Your conscience is not at ease this morning. Well, my friends, we are saying to you, take these things to your heart. You are dying, but there is a remedy. You're dying, but look to Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. May God then bless His word this morning to each one of us. Amen.